Welcome to Emotional Empowerment, a podcast for emotionally sensitive or struggling people who are open to learning how to use your emotions as a spiritual practice. Hi, I'm Michelle Bursell, and I've taught therapists, coaches, and people around the world how to use their negative feelings to heal their life, and in doing so, eliminated their struggle with anxiety, depression, anger, guilt, and more. Ready to turn your negative feelings into your greatest allies? Then let's start your emotional empowerment journey right now. Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Michelle Bursell, and I'm here with you today, episode number 11, How to Stand Up to Your and Your Kids' Inner Bully. I am so excited for this episode because I'm combining this episode about how you can look at your inner bully, your ego that can push you around. And I'm combining this with you being able to do this for your children and how you can start to teach them this emotional empowerment process, how to teach them about their own inner bully and what is an empowered way to address this. Now, this came up. I was talking to one of my friends about something that just happened for one of my emotionally sensitive children and how I go through the process with them. And it's really interesting because she's like, oh my gosh, I got to write all this down. And it's just really putting this process into action. Today, I'm going to give you some real life examples of how I've applied this with them. But even if you don't have children, you can do the same principles with yourself. Sometimes it's actually easier for us to look at another individual and see how it makes sense and then apply it to ourselves. That's what I find in our emotional empowerment mentorship group. Sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, what that other person said totally makes sense, and they can lock it in a different way for themselves. That's what I'm going to invite you to do today if you don't have children. If you have children, especially if you have emotionally sensitive children, I think this is really going to help. When I say children, this can be applied starting when I would say second, third grade. My kids are now in high school. I still use the same language because it's about keeping this simple. And that's what we want to do for ourselves and our kids. The more we have this conversation with them, the more they're going to get it. Now, do my kids sometimes roll their eyes at me when I'm doing this? Absolutely. That's a defense mechanism, right? At the same time, they are integrating it. And you can see that they're processing it differently. I think the reason why this is so important to me is because I know what it's like growing up as an emotionally sensitive kid. I know parents' best advice isn't always what works for those who are emotionally sensitive or struggling. People who don't have the same sensitivity or just grew up in a different generation have the tendency to be like, just get over it or don't think about it. Move on, right? And it's not that easy for emotionally sensitive people. This is our gift. We are more attuned, and that will serve us in many ways. And at the same time, we have to know how to work with this energy. So that's what today is all about. How to stand up to your inner bully or your kid's inner bully. In other words, as you learn to stand up for your kid's inner bully, you're teaching them how they can do this for themselves down the line. All right, so there's four steps that I'm going to teach you today about how to stand up to your inner bully or your kids. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give you two examples. One example is when what the inner bully is talking about is just not true. It's just the inner bully picking on you. The other is when what the inner bully is talking about is actually factual, but how the inner bully is processing it, of course, is not for your highest good. So let's start with a situation where it's not true. And what I'm going to be doing is giving you the four steps as we work through this real life example. So here's what happened. My son comes home one day, really upset, I can tell he's sad, and I'm grateful that he comes and tells me what's going on. And what he says is that nobody in school likes him. So I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened? How did he offend the whole class or whole school, right? At the same time, I'm like, being emotionally sensitive means that we kind of have the tendency to take things to a whole nother level that isn't true. Not that we're doing this purposefully. We really believe it because the ego can get a hold of us and amp things up to a level that really is not accurate. And so that's part of what you are learning, whether it's for yourself or your child, to start to see the inaccuracy of your ego or the inner bully's tapes, right? So anyways, he comes home upset and feeling that no one likes him. And so the big thing here is step number one, is to welcome and listen to their emotion. I'm not trying to fix it. I'm not trying to change it. I just want to listen and hear what's happened. So it turns out that he was doing a project with his best friend, and his best friend got upset with him because he felt my son did not do enough work to get them a good grade. And the truth is, there's probably some accuracy to that. Now, my son worked on this, but he also went to a game that night instead of doing more on the project. And I saw him getting up early and kind of scrambling to get things done. So his friend let him know and was like, dude, that's not cool. How could you do that? And when someone gets mad at us, when we are emotionally sensitive people, we really take it to heart. And of course, that's what my son did. And his inner bully made it mean that, well, if this one kid doesn't like him, nobody likes him. Step number one, we just welcome that feeling. We're going to welcome it and listen to that ego or inner bully's interpretation. I say, let us have it. Because if we try to switch this when that energy is coursing through us and we're not used to understanding our emotions from an empowered language, or even if we do, sometimes we just need to have our human moments and feel and you know, allow that inner bully to squawk, right? Otherwise, you try to hold it back and it's not going to work for you. So it'll just come out louder. So I'm just listening and I'm hearing and I'm understanding and I get why he's upset. And I'm also understanding why his friend might be upset, because there is some accuracy to it. So I'm just holding the space for my son to be sad. And whether this is for yourself or your child, you just want to hold space that it's natural to feel sad when someone's upset with you. And the rest of the course correction on this will come through the other steps. But in the moment, we just get to have that moment. When my son is really worked up, I know that he needs some space. So he walks off and he goes to his bedroom, and that's fine. And I'm going to allow him to have his space. It's okay that he's sad. I do check in on him and see if that sadness is moving at all, if he's calming at all. And if not, I can kind of hang out in that space to see if he needs me, if there's more he wants to say. And after a few minutes, if he doesn't, then I will leave and let him continue to have his process. I think this is important. And how I'll summarize step number one is, we're going to respect your own emotion, your own negative feeling, or the space of another's negative feeling without trying to resolve it, without trying to fix it. Because that can often be our own discomfort with discomfort. And when your child senses that, they get the idea that they can't be with you in their discomfort. It's the same with your own inner child. You want it to know that even if it's upset, you are there for this part of you. This is how we start to reparent ourselves, that it's okay that a part of me is upset. It's okay if your child is upset. Okay? Let's move on to step number two. Step number two is, once some of that intense ego, disempowered energy of that negative feeling is calmed down, we're going to then point out the bully. So the reason why it's important to do this after that energy has calmed down is because you might get attacked from your child for pointing it out. And it's just not something that they want to hear because they're not ready to hear it. And if you try to go into fixing mode for yourself or even another adult, they're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to feel listened to. So after the fact, once there's some calmness, we want to point out the bully. So for my son, it was pointing out the fact that, okay, I hear why your best friend is upset. I don't understand how that falls into everyone being upset with you. Is that true? And to my son, it was still true that everyone was upset with him. I'm like, okay, I think you just got some text messages from other kids on your phone, wanting to hang out with you, wanting to see what you're up to for the weekend. So that seems to show to me that people in your grade aren't upset with you. Could it be that just your friend is upset with you? Grumble, grumble, grumble. Okay, maybe that's true. But my friend, my best friend is really upset with me. And I'm like, well, okay, he is really upset with you. And he has a reason that he's upset with you. Maybe he took it too far. I don't know what exactly he said to you, but let's just respect the fact that he's upset with you and that if you sincerely apologize because you are good friends, he'll likely get over it. And then grumble, 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 he's not going to get over it. And then we use some more factual evidence to say, well, I think you guys have gotten in disagreements before. I think you guys have found a way to come back to each other and get over these things, right? So what we're doing is step number two, pointing out, hey, there's a bully that is taking this too far. And then I slipped into at the same time, step number three, providing them with evidence against the inner bully's tapes, right? We want to point out, hey, this is your inner bully talking to you. It likes to amplify things, make you seem like you're a big jerk. No one likes you. And I invite you to see that that is not your truth. It's the same with ourselves. In previous episodes, I'm inviting you to start to see the tapes of your bully. Because as an adult, it's going to become humorous. Like, it's going to get to the point where your inner bully's tape, your ego's tapes, will bore you, and then you will laugh at them. Because it's like, you see how it's the ego treating you like you're a puppet and pulling the string to try to make you feel a certain way. And again, we dissolve those strings when we don't buy into the ego's message. And so part of this is then, as we move into step number three, is providing ourselves with evidence against the inner bully's tapes. So that's what I was doing as I'm like providing evidence. Well, you've got friends texting you over here. I don't believe that's the case. We're not trying to resolve all this in one swoop. Again, that's more about our own discomfort with discomfort than it is really helping someone ingrain this. Then the next day, when things have resolved, he's back talking to his friend and he's had conversations or phone calls with other friends, I'll talk to him about what it means to fill in the gap. And this is what I mean by this. I'll say, you know, when your inner bully took over and was telling you all those things that, you know, no one likes you. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, and you know where you're at today where you don't believe that's true? And he's like, yeah. I said, well, this is going to be your opportunity to fill in that gap more quickly. So the sense that I can talk to you now and it's less than 24 hours later, and have you be able to see and admit that what your inner bully was telling you wasn't true, and you get it, and you feel that in your body, and you know that to be your truth, this is the gap that eventually we want to shorten so that when you feel a negative feeling, you can call out what the inner bully is doing even quicker. So maybe something like this could have thrown you off for a week with your friends if you didn't know how to work with your emotions and your inner bully. But because you're learning how to work with this in less than 24 hours, you're you see the inner bully for what your inner bully is doing, and you totally feel differently. You can call it out and you can find your truth again. Your life's work, I tell my son, is to shorten that gap so that when that negative emotion hits, you can start to see, huh, I probably have an ego tape, an inner bully tape happening, and what is my truth? And we want to shorten that gap so that maybe you'll be able to do that in 12 hours, and then maybe in 4 hours, and maybe with enough practice, you'll be able to do it in the moment that an emotion comes up. Now, of course, it depends on how intense the emotion is, right? Or how big the circumstance is, right? So you will be able to follow these four steps. Welcome and normalize the emotion, step number one. Step number two, point out the bully, point out, see the tape that you're caught in. Three, provide yourself or your child with evidence against the inner bully or the ego's tapes. Four, fill in the gap. The more intense the situation, it may take a little bit longer. The idea is, especially for us emotionally sensitive people, is that we get to the point where we feel the emotion, it comes through, we're not judging it, and we can see that bully because we're so clear about what the tape is saying, and we've got the evidence. That's our ability to self-soothe ourselves. And then automatically, this is how that negative feeling starts to dissolve because you're not buying into what your ego has to say about you. Now, I tell my kid, I'm like, look, I'm happy to do this for you now, but when you go to college, you got to be able to do this for yourself. You've got to be able to do this for yourself now. You're living in your mind. I can't do that for you. But I do want you to know that you're already getting it, and it's just about shortening that gap, not allowing that inner bully to take over you. Now, let me give you a situation where what the inner bully is talking about is a fact. One of my kids was trying out for the basketball team and did phenomenally. Parents were coming up to me afterwards like, oh my gosh, your son's doing great and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, that's great. You know, he enjoys basketball. So I was really happy for him. I don't put a lot of emphasis on that, but I know it's something that makes him happy. So my son is feeling great. There's an A team, there's a B team, and there's a C team. And he's been on the C team before. This year that we're talking about, there was going to be no C team. So he's feeling so good. He's like, oh, my skills have improved. He's like, Mom, I might even make the A team. I'm like, wow, that would be really cool. So a few days later, we get the call. He doesn't make any team. And I could just even feel it in my voice now. Oh my gosh, it still makes me sad. He was devastated. He was so sad. And he was also angry. And I was so sad. And I was also angry. And I'm not like a big political person into like the politics of sports. But I guess there's some politics when it comes to sports and what kids make what and blah, blah, blah. And there was some politics going on. It was really the reason why he didn't make the team. My son happens to be super tall and, you know, has been working on his skills a lot. And so, you know, when there were other kids who were, you know, a half a foot shorter and don't have the skills and they made it, we kind of got the conclusion, okay, there's something going on here. But anyways, the process still has to be to address this in an empowered way, okay? So he's sad and he's angry because he didn't make the team and it feels very unfair. So I'm sad and angry with him. You know, I'm like, you get to feel this way. You get to cry. You get to be angry. And that's what he allowed himself to be. And I allowed him to be. And then his ego and inner bully started to say, you know, I must not be as good as I think I am. I must suck. He's like, I can't believe I would be that off and, you know, saying all these things, he'll never be good and blah, blah, blah. And he might as well give up, right? There's that inner bully. And so it's really about the fact that you tried, that you gave it your all, And I do believe you deserve a spot on one of those teams. And all I know what to do in situations like this, when I'm feeling this anger, and anger is a signal of what is our power, what is in our power to do. The only thing I know how to do right now is pray. So that's what I told him. I said, I don't know what to do, but my power is in prayer. Prayer that this resolves itself. Prayer that you find another sport. Just prayer. So I invite you to pray, because I don't understand this entirely. And lo and behold, 24 hours later, we get a call. There's been a mistake and we'd like to invite him on the B team. So this is a message here of, I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in miracles. Behind the scenes, there were other parents who saw my kid and another kid and thought it was an outrage that they didn't make a team, and they could see the politics behind it and got other coaches involved. Nothing that my husband and I did. We just prayed. That was the empowered action of our emotion. So let's put this into steps. Welcome and normalize the emotion. Like, if you get rejected, if an expectation you had does not happen, welcome and normalize the fact that you are feeling disempowered, frustrated, sad, angry. Point out, once you allow yourself this process and that energy of that negative feeling to come through, point out that where your ego or your kid's ego wants to take it. It wants to say that you're a failure, that you'll never succeed, that you'll always suck at something, right? See it. Provide them with evidence against the inner bully's tapes. Hey, I see you. I think you're great. I know that doesn't mean a lot, but the fact that you thought you were doing well should be meaningful to you. And I hear other people that were praising your efforts and your abilities. So we've got some evidence here that says this isn't something you should give up on, even if there are politics involved that are keeping you away from this. And then what I was so proud of him about was that he made peace with it. So before we got that next call, he made peace with himself. He was like, you know what? I like other sports. I'm still going to play basketball because I enjoy it. And that was one of my most proud moments, because I heard the other kid who got cut was still flaming angry. And I get it. But we have to have a way that empowers us. And again, we always have a power of choice. The power of choice that I could offer in that moment was prayer. And what I was so glad to see was that prayer brought to my son a sense of inner peace. And so he made peace with it, and then we got the call. And so that was the evidence of him starting to fill that gap, that he's not going to allow his ego or a situation to define him, and yet still allowed himself his own human process. And so it's the same case for you. Disappointment happens. It's going to happen. It happens all the time, especially if you own your own business, especially if you're putting yourself out there in the world. Normalize those feelings. Don't try to kick them to the curb. Don't try to push and move on, because underneath that's going to be an inner bully, that ego running you as you move forward. And we don't want that part of you running the show. So see the inner bully, what it's saying to you, and then provide yourself with evidence against your inner bully's tapes, and then fill in that gap so that you can shift from this disempowered version back to your truth. And when you do, naturally, your emotions will dissolve. So I hope that these four steps help you. I hope that between this podcast and the other podcasts, that I can give you some idea about how we do things a bit differently with emotional empowerment, and especially what you can begin doing for yourself and your children that may be emotionally sensitive. I use this with my kids, regardless if they are emotionally sensitive or not. Why? Because it's empowering. And so that's what we want to give ourselves, an ability to be resilient and empowered. And that's what that whole experience with that basketball team left me with my son. I'm like, yes, you're emotionally sensitive. And thank goodness you are, because you love deeply, you experience life deeply. And I love that. And just look in the mirror at how resilient you are. And while all those politics were going on, those parents of those kids have no idea what they put you through. What I know that you have now is a sense of resiliency that in the face of disappointment, you'll find your way through. That is the truth for all of us. We have to allow ourselves a process to get there. So I honor you so much for listening, for being willing to allow yourself an experience with your emotions that's going to lead you to emotional health and well-being and resiliency for yourself and any kids that you know, whether they're little ones or they are young adults. This process can really be supported by you as a parent, as you being a parent to your children. And it's a process that teaches you how to become your own parent to your inner child and that emotional self of yours. Thank you so much. I can't wait to share with you more next week as we go into episode 12. Take care, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Emotional Empowerment Podcast. If you've enjoyed the program, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes to help us spread the message about how to use your emotions as a tool for spiritual and personal growth. To receive free training and emotional empowerment, visit www.iiee.training. That's www.iiee.training.